the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I love the parables of Jesus. They are always surprising. And many lead to quite different conclusions from what you might expect. Look, for instance, at the parable of the prodigal son, which I'm sure all of you know. The parable of the prodigal son is the one where the wicked son gets welcomed and the good son gets blamed for being sniffy about that. Okay, I think we're on the right lines here. Or look at the parable of the unjust steward, which poor Jimmy had the pleasure of preaching about last week, in which Jesus explicitly says to us that the world is a place where cleverness is as important as goodness. Why does Jesus do this to us? Why does he tell us stories like this? In St. Mark's Gospel, probably the earliest to be written, we find this puzzling passage in chapter 4. When Jesus was alone, those who were around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those outside, everything is done in parables, that when they look, they may see but not perceive, and when they listen, they may hear and not understand, in case they might turn again and be forgiven." Is he really saying that? Is he really saying that the parables, far from being teaching aids, are in fact deliberate hindrances to outsiders' understanding? You know, I think that might actually be the case. Because we Christians are in possession of such an explosive treasure, such an astounding secret, that it needs treasuring and guarding until those outside are ready to receive it and treasure it themselves. Now, it is not true of all parables that they obscure the message. Some parables are simply allegorical and rather pedestrian, like the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, in which Jesus uses the different soil types as examples of different people's reactions to hearing his preaching. In some soil types, the seed sown there will do rather better than in others, and in the same way, the preaching will bear better fruit heard by one person rather than another. But there are other parables, like the prodigal son, like the unjust steward, which carry more than one meaning. And depending on the sort of person you are, you will either get them or you won't. My absolute favorite is the parable of the pearl of great value. One of its meanings will lead you into a kind of spiritual enslavement. The other meaning, the true meaning, will liberate you. It is in Matthew chapter 13, and it's only one verse long, and it goes like this. "The kingdom of the heavens is like a trader in search of beautiful pearls. On finding one very precious pearl, he went off and sold up completely all that he had and bought it." Learn from this parable. All my teachers when I was young thought this parable was about how hard it was to get faith, how difficult it was to find your way to heaven. They all thought that the trader in the parable was you or me. They all thought that the pearl of great value was God or heaven or owning Jesus as my personal savior. They were encouraging us in the pews to work hard and to give up everything to get this precious thing, this prize. And how wrong they were. Jesus does not want us to live in reduced circumstances. He came to give us life in all its abundance. Look again at that one verse parable and switch the roles round this time and see how a trap becomes a gift. A prison becomes a life of freedom. The kingdom of the heavens is like a trader in search of beautiful pearls. On finding one very precious pearl, he went off and sold up completely all that he had and bought it. You are that precious pearl. God has seen you and desires you and wants to possess you. He sells off his Godhead completely and becomes human to possess you. He even sacrifices his human life to own you. You are the pearl, and he loves you. Suddenly, you see that what from one point of view looks like slavery, from another looks like love and liberation. So now, let's look at today's parable. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels. He was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. Nothing is said about the poor man's funeral. I think Luke takes it as read. And so we can make some intelligent guesses. We can guess that it was only a pauper's funeral. People despised beggars, and even today earth has no honour for a beggar in death, no splendid coffin, no flowers. But look what Jesus gives to the beggar at his funeral. The angels of heaven came, and despite the absence of a posh funeral with bearers dressed in black wearing solemn faces, here, shining white-clad angels were his bearers, singing as they escorted him, risen in body and soul, to the glory of heaven. Notice also that nothing is said about what became of his earthly body, because that doesn't ultimately matter. For the man himself was no longer in the old, worn-out, dirty, diseased and battered frame that people saw begging outside the rich man's door in the filthy street. Reality for him had changed. At death, he was soon far away in a realm of total brightness. While the body was dropped ignominiously into its unmarked plot, the beggar, the real man, was carried away to be, as Luke says, with Abraham. And we see him there, a beggar no more, at last enjoying the blessedness of heaven. Now, all of us dread death. Our mortal nature is framed in such a way that we have to. We shy away from extreme heat or cold. We conceal ourselves from the violence of others. We store food and covet shelter in order that our lives and the lives of our loved ones might be protected. Death is therefore like an enemy. It seems the end of our existence, but really, to Christians, it is not an end, but only an incident in our life. It is just a moment's passage through an experience we can never understand, and then we believe we will experience the glory. One minute this poor beggar lies at the gate, despised, suffering, hungry. The next, an unexpected sensation passes over him, which may cause him some confusion. Then he awakens and realizes that an escort of angels is accompanying him. And in no time at all, he's inside the heavenly gate, and the broad, sunlit uplands of eternal life, described so beautifully by C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien and others, are his. There is no break in his life. Death is no discontinuity in his experience. But in the story Jesus tells, death also came to the rich man, at whose gate the beggar had used to sit. His riches could not save him from death, but I bet his funeral was worth going out of your way to see, because it would have been spectacular. There would have been a long procession, countless mourners, a huge great cloud of incense burning, great feast given in his memory, and every show of honour. It's just that the angels didn't turn up. Sad that. But who would not rather have the beggar's escort after death than this fine funeral given to the dead rich man? You couldn't rely on the sincerity of many mourners, for he had only ever lived for himself, and he had allowed the needy to lie hungry at his very gates. He had lived only for himself, and when he was gone and the party was over, no one really missed him. Jesus is not criticizing rich people as such. There were well-off people amongst his followers, and there have been plenty of funerals of rich people at which there was genuine sorrow, and those who had been blessed by their generosity came and wept by their graves. Even the poorest amongst us lives like royalty in comparison to the genuinely poor of this world. We believe that our personal riches or anything about us really are not a barrier to having a place in the kingdom of God. And in this world's terms, all of us are well off. Rich or poor, high or low, we are all pearls of great value in God's eyes. And he gave up everything to own us, including placing himself in our hands and letting us own him, so that we might be one with one another and one with him. So Jesus teaches us to be thankful for our riches and not to hoard them, but to be like him in sharing and giving and receiving. Amen.